It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 15th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by John Krause. How you doing, John?
I'm doing good. Only 5 days left. It feels like it's kind of like I've been on this long, I don't know, like a diet or something, and I've been wanting to treat myself to something a little bit tastier, but it's like 5 days, 5 days, and I'm free.
There you go. We are here to talk to you about everything happening on the live feeds. It's not a whole lot happening, but we're going to talk to you about it anyway. So yesterday, before the feeds cut for the episode, we did get a little bit of Kevin before he was ultimately evicted. He was talking to Paul. Paul continued to say to Kevin, I think Christmas is going to keep you. Like 80% Christmas is going to keep you.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I tweeted at Brent last night this, but I see from Paul this thing that you see with like serial killers. And I don't want to imply that Paul is a serial killer, but like they get to the point where they start to get a little cocky. They're like, they think they're a little too smart. They want to show off just how good they are. And they start like writing notes and mailing them into the police station or something. It's like, slow your roll, guys. You guys talked about it last night with Andy, but it's like, in a little bit here. Like, it's just overkill. Like, why lie even more to Kevin there? And that it's not going to help, and it can only hurt. Like, best case scenario is that Kevin isn't mad about the lie. But, like, worst case scenario, maybe he is. Like, either way, Kevin's leaving. You don't need to add that extra layer of lie there. And that's not going to shore him up any extra goodwill. Like, Kevin's not going to come home and be like, oh, good on Paul for lying to me.
Yeah. And, you know, like this is another reason why, you know, I talked about the crying with Alex. I honestly think this is less strategy from Paul and more just that he can't muster up the strength to be honest with people. And he did that with Alex and it like destroyed him. Like he just doesn't have that in him. It's much easier for him to just lie and hide behind the lie. He's scared of the confrontation of having to admit to somebody that I screwed you over.
Yeah, well, something else that I was thinking about too is that he's never, you know, he's played two seasons now and he's always been the underdog. And in times when he wasn't the underdog, he has put himself into the position of being the underdog. Like that's the only way he knows how to play the game is like playing from behind, playing from this position where you have to do the tough calls. You have to do the lies. And I think he realizes we see from some of the diary rooms that like he knows that he's kind of running the house and he's starting to get a little cocky. But like the only way he knows how to play this game is one from a position of dishonesty. Whereas I think that coming into the last like 5 days of the game, this is where you start owning up to stuff. This is where you start being like, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to sort of solidify those jury votes. But he doesn't know how to do it. He only knows how to play from this position of like, we're just going to do this. I'm like, they won't see it coming.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a weird position for him to be in because Kevin basically says, I mean, so ultimately Kevin is evicted and he comes out of the house and says, yeah, you know what? I understand the decision from Paul. He knows that I'm a social player and that he probably doesn't want to be sitting next to me in the end. He'd rather sit next to Josh. And that's what Kevin told him before he left. He said, Paul, make sure you're sitting next to Josh. I think Christmas can beat you, but nobody is going to vote for Josh. And so Kevin completely understands. Like, of course, Paul would rather sit next to Josh than me. That makes complete sense. I totally understand that. But Paul won't admit to it. And it's just like, I'm willing to accept that you're stabbing me. Like you just stabbed me there's a knife sticking out of my stomach. I'm looking at it and I'm like, I understand. And you're like, what are you talking about? I didn't do it. And you're like, what? Come on. You just, yeah. I'm forgiving you. It's like, well, there's nothing to forgive. I don't know what you're talking about. It's maddening. And it could totally end up losing Paul his votes. I don't think it will, but you could totally see why it might.
Right. I'm in complete agreement with you. And I'll reiterate that, like, I do think that Paul is still the overall winner. Like, if he's in the final two with either Christmas or Josh, I really think he wins hands down, maybe not unanimously, but hands down. I think he's the clear winner. But it's just like we're nitpicking sort of this end game where it's like he doesn't need to be doing these things. And it's like I said just a few minutes ago, like what he's doing can only hurt him. I don't think it will, but it has no potential to help. Like he's at this bar and he can only go down from here. Like what he's doing is not raising that bar at all.
Yes. So as I mentioned, ultimately we see Paul not use the power of veto. Christmas evicts Kevin. Kevin goes out, says, I'm fine with this. No hard feelings. He says in his exit interview on the live feeds that he understands Josh, of course, says to him, oh, we had a final three. And this is news to Kevin. But he's like, that makes sense. I understand. Again, he's on the live feed saying, I get it. They wanted to take me out. They had a final three. I understand, no hard feelings. Basically I'm pulling for Paul, you know, stuff like that. So, no hard feelings whatsoever from Kevin.
Kevin just seems, like tired and a little bit sad. He's really lost a lot of gas, in the second half of this game. Like I was just thinking a few minutes ago that like when Kevin came into the house, he was the guy that was like, hey, I like to come up with fun names for things. We got the Mojos. We got the, like, he had like, we call it whatever he called the veto. Like he had fun nicknames. He hasn't done that for like a month. I think he's just like, he's just ready. Like he's just ready to be done. You know, it's been fun. I'm glad that he played. I'm glad that we all got to sort of meet Kevin, but I think that he was ready to go like a few weeks ago, like when he was first nominated. And, it's just sort of been like this slow, I think he's just tired. He's ready to go.
Yeah. And that's what he said.
Go ahead.
He said, when he was nominated, he was like, well, I'm happy to be leaving this house. And then he stayed another like 4 weeks. And I think he's been done. Like he tried to play a game and he failed every single time. He went to Cody. He went to Mark. He went to all of these people and tried to play with them. He tried to get people on his side. He tried to get Jason to listen to him. He tried to get Alex on his side. Nobody would listen to him. And basically ever since he went up on the block, he's just been like, all right, I'm just going to listen to what Paul says and Paul's going to take me as far as he can. And then Paul's probably going to cut me, but whatever. At least I'll make it far.
Yeah. Well, you know, like let's keep things in context here. Kevin is not a fan of Big Brother. Kevin is, as far as we know, and this is like basically what his kids have come forth and said, is that his kids are fans of Big Brother. And it seems like Kevin's a really good dad and that he is always game to do whatever his kids sort of want him to do. And they were like, Dad, you should try out for this. We know you'd make it. And then he did. So like, it's just sort of a nice thing that he did for his kids. Like he likes to be on their YouTube videos. And this is sort of like, in his mind, I think it's just like an 80 plus day version of that. And so coming into the house, like this is the guy on day one, Paul walks into the house and he's like, who's that? Why do I care? And like every time they bring back, like, you know, Nicole comes back and he's like, I don't know. They just did the BB Comics thing. And he was like, I put the skinny guy in the front here and I put the one with the hat on up next, the Captain Camo. And so it's like, you know, he's, and like considering that as far as we know, this is just like a lark for him. It's just like, it sounds like it might be kind of fun. I know my kids will like seeing me on TV. He has shown a lot of good intuition. Like he really did try. He was one of the first people when the feeds came on, like the day one that feeds came on, he was one of the first people that was talking to Paul. I think that Paul roped him in, or they roped each other in pretty quickly. They made like an early final two deal or like an early alliance very early on, which I think is pretty good intuition. And yeah, like you said, like he tried, and like how many times are you going to be stymied? Someone like, and I don't mean to badmouth anybody, but it's not like Elena or someone who's like, oh, this will be good for my exposure, my Instagram followers. You know, it's like he wanted the money and he won quite a bit. And, you know, he was just doing this for his kids, like his family, like they just wanted to enjoy him on TV. So after you get stymied so many times, it's just like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah. And like, again, remember that basically Paul told him, shut up and don't talk to anyone. And he still tried to talk to people. But anytime he said anything, anything at all, it would immediately run back to Paul, and Paul would be like, what are you doing? You gotta shut up. He'd be like, okay, I'll shut up. It's fine. And then he'd try to talk to somebody else, and they'd run it back to Paul, and he'd be like, dude, Kevin, I told you, you gotta shut up. And eventually he was just like, what can I do? What can I do but just listen to Paul? And I think that's how we got here.
And I think it brings up another good point. The idea, you guys talked about this last night a little bit too, but like, Paul hasn't really backstabbed anybody. Like, from Kevin's point of view, Paul was loyal up to that exact moment. And it's very easy to make fun of Alex. It's very easy to make fun of Alex. But like, up until her and Jason got betrayed, she had no reason to not trust Paul. Like, Paul was playing this very, very good game where he had all these deals with everybody, but they were completely isolated. No one had any evidence that they were being backstabbed until it was too late. And so I think that coming into the final jury arguments, that if Josh tries to make this argument, like me and Paul and Christmas had a final three from day one, that I think that's going to fall on deaf ears with this jury, because they're going to be like, yeah. And then Josh is going to be like, yeah, but he never betrayed us. And then the jury is going to be like, right, well, he didn't betray us until it was too late. Like, it's just sort of, you know, he spun the little dial in your, like the Wheel of Fortune wheel, and your final three was just the one that he ended up going with. So I think that argument, if Josh uses that, if he gets to the final two with Paul, I don't know that that's going to sway any votes. Like, I really do think that, I still really think Paul is going to win handily, and anything else is fan fiction.
Yeah, I've got to agree. You know, obviously, Brent, he thinks everyone is going to vote for Josh, just like he thought everyone was going to vote for Paul last year, and he thought everyone was going to vote for Karen in Big Brother Canada. He's got his favorites, and he tends to think that those people are going to get the jury votes. But I really
love that enthusiasm.
Yes, yeah, you know, he's got that enthusiasm. But yeah, I do think that Kevin is a locked in vote for Paul. I think. Raven and Matt locked in votes for Paul. Christmas obviously locked in vote for Paul. That's four automatically. Then you get Alex, who I do believe is probably still going to stay locked in. I mean, she is potentially a swing vote, but I think Alex is locked in. She talked about, like, it's the game. Alex does not want to be seen as a bitter juror. Honestly, I think if anything, Alex is more likely to bring Jason on board to voting for Paul. So I do think that Alex will be voting for Paul. You agree?
Yeah. Plus, like, Alex still thinks Kevin is like this horrific Hollywood movie monster. And so the fact that Paul finally slayed, you know, this horrible beast, I think that she's going to like that. You know what I mean? Like, if Paul took Kevin to the end, then maybe Alex would be like, wait a minute, we all hated Kevin, I thought. But I see Alex voting for him too.
Yeah. So honestly, and if Alex votes Paul, I think that I do think that Jason will probably go along with that as well. I honestly, it's hard seeing Cody vote for Josh over Paul. As much as Cody may hate Paul, Josh was always worse to Cody. Cody always hated Josh more. I mean, remember that moment when Cody was telling Josh, get the F out of here. I don't even want to see you. I don't want to look at you. You make so many victim noises. I mean, Josh is the king of victim noises. He cried every time he evicted somebody. That is completely anti-Cody. I really think Cody's going to vote for Paul as well.
Yeah, well, I think that Cody, he's a military-minded person, right? Like, that's sort of the way he approaches the whole world. And I think that he sees Paul as the adversary, as like the general of the opposing army or whatever. Like, I think that he would much rather vote for Paul as his equal, maybe the opposing person, but his equal, as opposed to Josh, which he just thinks is like a waste of space.
Yeah. And then if we're talking about Elena and Mark, Elena certainly had a lot of fun pointing out how dumb people were that Paul played them. I was thinking she was probably a vote for Paul until Mark said he's going to get second place, which kind of insinuated that at the very least, Elena and Cody would be on board with him to not vote for Paul. But as I mentioned in the recap last night, this could very easily have been taken out of context to try to trick us into thinking there's a potential that Paul might lose this jury vote to increase the suspense. Because, I mean, it was Alex talking about Paul and then a very, like, pretty obvious cut to a different conversation where Mark is saying he's going to get second place. And yes, it, I ID Institute official in the chat says, I thought Mark was saying Josh was getting second place when he said that. That seems more likely to me, to be honest. They all know, especially with Alex coming into the jury house, that Paul's plan is to take Josh to the end. Josh was a vital part of the ceremonies that they saw, and he was crying during them. And so it makes a lot of sense that Mark would be saying he's going to get second place, like not as in like, I'm going to be bitter and vote against somebody, but as like, they're going to drag him to second place. And so that's, I think it's hard to find a single Josh vote in all of this, except for maybe Jason. I really do think that Paul has this sewn up.
Well, the jury segments are a lot of fun and definitely the highlight of the episode last night. It also took up like half of the runtime, but they are highly edited. They're not like other stuff in the Big Brother house. Like they're much more akin to the confessionals where you have, you know, they do more than one take. Perhaps they might suggest certain things. I'm not trying to say that they were necessarily putting words directly into the people's mouths, but like these jury's house segments, they're filmed at a very specific time and a very specific portion of the day. Like, you know, it's all very set up and fake. So I think that that's all CBS editing to try to create a narrative of like, well, who's it going to be? You know, the CBS has a vested interest in keeping us watching. If everyone thought that it was going to be open shut, then we wouldn't tune in, or at least that's the fear. So like they need to craft these segments where it's like, oh, everyone's going to be arguing and they're fighting and who knows who they're going to side with. So I would take anything that anyone says in the jury segments with a complete grain of salt.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But again, even if we take what Mark said at face value and we assume that because Mark said it, it's probably true for Elena and Cody both, since they spent a lot of time in jury together. Again, I really just feel like despite that, Paul still has four locked votes and one probably locked vote in Alex. So I think he still does win regardless. Something would have to change. The Dr. Will would have to go in there and be like, look, I really don't want Paul to win. People have been comparing him to me too much. I need to make sure he loses and then get in people's head about that.
Right. And we know Dr. Will won't be the one hosting the segment. He tweeted about that somewhat recently.
Well, yes, he did tweet about it, but Dr. Will, notorious liar. That's all I'm going to say.
Good point. Maybe I've been fleeced.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? You know, he may be telling the truth, but with Dr. Will, my assumption is he's lying pretty much anytime he tweets something.
Good point.
All right. So, yes, moving forward. We do have the final. We had part one of the final three HOH take place. Was not on feeds, which right. I believe this was a first in terms of the endurance for part one of HOH, the final three HOH. Pretty lame.
Yeah, there's been a tendency over the last couple seasons to not show a lot of the endurance comps, which depending on who you talk to that is a feed subscriber, like that's one of the big things. People like to watch the big endurance comps. I remember when I first started watching the feeds around like All Stars that I was always sure to tune in for like the big endurance comps because they were always fun and it was always like, oh, who's going to win? Like, you know, it's like watching a competition on the show, the most exciting portion of a show, like play out in real time. So it does kind of suck. But we do know because the feeds came back that there is a winner. Also, we can sort of surmise they all have unicorn shirts on. They all have like fun colors. Paul kind of looks like a discount Incredible Hulk. Someone on I think it was Reddit said that Josh kind of looks like Gary Glitter. So there's clearly like some colors being shot at them. We can sort of picture in our head what the competition is probably going to look like.
Yeah. Nikki does point out it wasn't on the feeds last year either. That wasn't like a strict endurance comp though. That was the cat one, right? That was where they were.
The cat one, which still I'm trying to remember. I don't even like it was really weird and I don't remember how it like they had to run between different things.
Yeah, there was like a laser pointer, I think, that they had to like follow and there were three different stations and yeah, it wasn't your typical endurance comp.
You know what? I will always applaud production for trying new comps and new competitions. As much as I like the classics, they can get a little tired. So anytime they go for something new, that's a thumbs up. But sometimes they fall a little flat. And that one was a little bit like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Last year it was cats and we were like, this is very, very strange, but I guess, you know, they're cats. People love cats. This year, I guess
a lot of viewers on CBS, I'm pretty sure, are cat fans. So it makes sense on paper, like they go together.
So it seems like they're following this trend. They got unicorns this year.
Well, that's very big. Unicorns are very big. We have unicorn like drinks at Starbucks, and like everyone loves the, this is the year of the unicorn, I think. So
Nina says, no, we don't. No, we don't love cats. Oh, man. Nina.
I mean, I thought everyone liked cats, at least the concept of cats.
Nina has been a loyal chat member all season long, and now I'm finding out right at the end that she doesn't like cats, and I'm very disappointed.
Have to have a talk. Gonna have to have a talk.
So yes, we had some unicorns in this this final three HOH part one, and our winner of this competition was none other than Paul himself.
What? I'm shocked. You can't. I'm surprised. It wasn't the cripple, the one-legged person. It wasn't. Wow. Actually, from what I understand, Christmas came in second. So that's actually, I think the bigger story here is that all season we've been talking about Christmas being dragged to the end because she's obviously going to fail all three of these final three HOH comps. But she came in second, and it may have been kind of a close second.
Yes, Paul. Paul and Christmas lasted about a half hour or so more than Josh did. And Christmas said her arms gave out, her legs were not the problem. And Paul said if it had gone on much longer, he wouldn't have been able to hold on. So it was a pretty close competition there, which really scared Paul because he doesn't want Christmas anywhere near that final two.
Right. And now that Paul has won, he's not going to play in the next one. And so typically we have more of like a trivia based thing for the final two portion of the final three HOH. Sometimes there's a physical component and we'll see how this plays out. But now Paul, you know, his hands are off. This is going to be Josh versus Christmas, and Christmas beat Josh in round one. So it's much less open and shut than we kind of predicted all season long.
Yeah, they also said about Christmas during this HOH competition, they gave her specific instructions for, like, when you fall, this is how you should land so that you don't land on your feet, and apparently she was able to do that. I know that's something we've been speculating all season long. Again, I think that they knew when she had the surgery that she would be in a place by the final three where they would be able to give her instructions. They knew that she would be able to compete in these competitions. And if she wasn't able to, they probably would have pulled her. I think that's probably where we were at with that decision.
Yeah, well, it's been interesting watching. So, I mean, I'm no doctor, but like when she first got that injury and she came back from her examination and they said, like, you have a break in four places. They were saying, like, you will never completely heal, that you're going to have arthritis. Then they did the surgery and they found out that she had even more broken bones than they thought. She had like 10 broken bones because, believe it or not, you have a lot of bones in your feet. And so, like, the prognosis was not very good, and it's been kind of an interesting sort of, like, mini plot thread to just watch how well she's been healing all season. She's been walking around without crutches now. She's actually able to walk, put a little bit of weight on that foot, on that boot, which is good. As a, from a human to a human, I'm glad that she's healing up.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I'm sure that, you know, like her immaculate physical fitness is a contributing factor toward the healing.
Yeah, it helps.
Yes. So yes, we're going to see a part two of the HOH competition. Well, we're not going to see it, but we're going to, you know, we're going to see the results of it at some point. Paul is telling Josh, dude, you need to be studying. You need to win this competition. We cannot take Christmas to the end. She is going to beat both of us. We are legitimately our best shots at winning in the final two. And Paul believes this. But right. Does Josh? That's the question.
I don't know. It's, you know, this is, it's so funny because all season we've had Paul playing this dominant game. And like we even said on this recording that we think that if he gets to the end, he's the obvious winner here. But it's interesting that there's a lot of room for finagling, and our beliefs versus the beliefs in the house are not really lining up, because it's an interesting discussion. I could see that possibly Christmas could beat Josh. I don't think that she beats Paul at all, but he thinks that she does, which means he has a wrong read. And we know, or at least we think, and if we're Brent, we hope that if Josh wins the final two HOH, that he will take Christmas over Paul, which probably is his best chance at a win. But then there's also the fact that, like, she's been saying all season that she was going to take Paul. She's been telling Josh that if he wins, that he should take Paul over her, which is absolutely crazy. But if I can bring up Big Brother Canada, like when John Party won that final three HOH, he had been saying up until that point that he was going to take Netta. And it wasn't until he won. And that, like, you could almost, if you watch that clip, you can almost see it click in his brain at that moment and not a moment before. Like, I need to get rid of Netta and I need to take, Sabrina, right? Like, it's possible. And I don't want to get all my hopes hung up on Christmas. I don't know if we're going to have a white Christmas this year. But it's possible that if she wins that final three, that she might, a switch might flip and she might get rid of Paul. And if Christmas is the one to get rid of Paul, then I think that that might even garner her more votes. So, like, there's still a lot of cogs in this thing. I think it's kind of, I'm pretty sure in 5 days we'll be talking about Paul as the winner. But there's still a lot of things that could, like, not click up in this sort of stopwatch.
Yes, and we actually, assuming I'm able to release the Netta interview tonight, you'll get to listen to On the Taran Show Netta talk about that situation where John ended up cutting her at the end. She had some interesting things to say about it. She thinks part of what contributed toward it is that when you get to the end of the game, things get a bit different, you know, like you're starting to think about being on the outside. You start getting different perspectives about, like, what am I actually doing here? It's totally possible that we could see Christmas decide to cut Paul. I mean, even when she was talking to Josh, she didn't explicitly say, I'm going to take Paul. She said, I haven't decided yet. I don't want to have to make that decision. So it's totally possible. I think she probably will take Paul. I think that's the most likely outcome for sure. But I think you're right. I think that we shouldn't leave ourselves open to the idea that or we shouldn't leave ourselves closed off to the idea that Christmas definitely will not take Josh, especially if what Andy Heron said was true and she has to pay all of her own medical bills.
That blows my mind. Yeah, it's really interesting. And I'm excited to listen to the Netta interview, absolutely, for reasons like this. But, you know, you hear from former players that, like, when you're in the house, that becomes your whole world. We hear all the time, like, you forget the cameras are there. You stop thinking about stuff. Like, surely you still miss your families and you wonder, like, who won the World Series or whatever. But, like, that just becomes your whole world. And it becomes so hard to separate. Part of the mental duress, the mental marathon of Big Brother is being able to separate game from real life, because the game is your life for three whole months. But when you get to the final three, you get to the end, then you start thinking about life outside the house. You start thinking about, you know, what am I going to do next week? What am I going to do in 2 or 3 weeks? Boy, if I had an extra $500,000 in my bank account, that'll make a really big difference. But yeah, like, psychologically speaking, like, you the whole world just sort of disappears when you're in the Big Brother house. Did you ever see that? There was a BBC series called Dead Set, where yes, it was like a Big Brother game and then like a zombie apocalypse happens and no one in the house has any idea. That reminds me of that.
Yeah, no, made by Charlie Brooker, the creator of Black Mirror.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That makes sense. Yes. I like that.
Moving forward, it does look like Josh is agreeing with Paul. He's saying, yes, I will take you. Christmas will beat us. I think there's a part of Josh that's starting to get a little bit convinced by Paul that maybe Christmas can beat them. I think that the fact that both Kevin and Alex were saying that certainly helps Paul's argument. I do think Josh still cuts Paul. However, I think just like there's a chance that Christmas may end up cutting Paul, I think there's also a chance that Josh may end up changing his mind and deciding, you know what, maybe I do have a better shot against Paul if the jury is bitter. I think that is a possibility, though obviously I do think it's much more likely that he still ends up cutting Paul.
Yeah, unfortunately, as far as I know on the feeds last night, we didn't get any of the Josh talking to the camera. So we really haven't gotten an update on how he feels about these things. And it's hard, like the fewer and fewer people there are in the house, the less time away from Paul you get. And we've definitely seen all season that Paul has a way of talking to you and convincing you of certain things. And now that Paul is like 50% of the other members of the house from Josh's perspective, like you're not going to get too much time alone to think and to discuss. And in terms of the very little game strategy we saw last night, a lot of it was Paul and Josh kind of having one-on-ones, being like, all right, we're going to do this. We got this, the best chance. And Paul's been using very specific language, saying the best chance that we have either of us to win is against each other, which is good, because that makes it sound like they're still working together, that they're looking out for each other, but it doesn't seem disingenuous. Like, it's not like Paul is saying, oh, I don't want to win, I'm going to help you win. Like, he still has this bit of like, I'm still self-interested, but also I think your best bet is with me too. Like, both of us are going to lose against Christmas, so we only can help each other. So I really think that we could possibly see that. And let's be honest, like, Josh has been surprising all season. Certainly, I don't think that when the season started and he stole that golden apple that we were going to be talking about him in the final three or the final two. And I would even go so far as to say that he has been the second best player all season. But he's not the best player like ever. He's not really like a great Big Brother player. He's made a lot of key mistakes all season long. He's done a lot of emotional things. And so I wouldn't put it past him to make a bad move at this last moment. Even understanding that he has said before that he has mentioned the whole Steve Moses Vanessa connection. He's aware of that. He sees the parallels. But if we can switch over to Survivor really quickly here, in Cagayan, right? Wu was talking about how he would be stupid to take Tony to the end up until he actually did it. Like, Wu knew that was dumb until he forgot that it was dumb. So I could still see it happening, even though he recognizes that.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, when I've talked about, like, when Josh feels like he wants to go against Paul, it's usually in an emotional moment. Josh is a very emotional player. And I think the fact that Paul would feel very betrayed, whereas Christmas is basically telling Josh, I'm completely okay if you cut me. In fact, you should cut me. You should take Paul. I think that is going to play a factor. I think there's going to be a part of Josh that's like, this is the easier path to just take Paul. And he's telling me that's the better choice anyway. Who am I to know what the jury is thinking? Maybe I'll just go with the easier one. It satisfies my emotions, and maybe I still have a chance to win if I out our alliance. I definitely think it's still a possibility. Though, of course, he's been saying for a long time he's going to cut Paul. I still think that's most likely. But I don't want to rule this one out either.
He may, you know, like, he goes back and forth on how well he's doing with jury management. Like, he's been doing these great goodbye messages over the last few weeks. But at the same time, during that double when Mark almost went home, like, he was chasing Mark around being like, you're going next. So if Josh thinks about jury management, he might interpret that discussion with Christmas as being like, I can get rid of her. And she's implying that she's going to vote for me. Whereas he may worry that if he cuts Paul, that Paul won't vote for him because Paul may see it as more of a betrayal. And Josh recognizes that Paul is so good at talking that he might be like, oh, you know, maybe Paul will sway the jury. Obviously, Paul would be out at three and they wouldn't have a lot of time to talk. But so he might be thinking about that, too. Like, if I cut Christmas will vote for me if I'm Josh. If I cut Paul, maybe he won't. And so that could also weigh in.
Yes. All right. So that's about all we've got for you on today's update. We will be back tomorrow at noon Eastern to update you on everything else that happens on the feeds today. Again, probably won't be too much, but there's usually some stuff to talk about. Also, I'm hoping to get some special coverage on the last few updates. I'll get some more information to you out regarding that soon. But we will not stop the updates. We will keep them coming. You'll make sure that, or I will make sure that you've still got some great stuff to listen to every day until the season ends.
When is the last day of feeds? Usually like Monday, Sunday?
I do not remember. I don't remember. In Big Brother Canada, it usually cuts out like way early. I think right. Big Brother US, it tends to be a bit later.
I know sometimes there's feeds after the second part of the HOH competition. So, like, I know that we'll probably have feeds going into the weekend, but I don't know exactly when it's kind of cut off.
Yes. All right. So Nina's asking, can we have the updates on something else when it ends?
We can just, like, meet up and talk about, like, how our days are going and, like, how I'm doing at work and things like that. That'd be fun.
Yes. Just updates on how was the storm, John?
You know what? I don't want to sort of speak out of school because a lot of the state was very devastated. And even in the Central Florida, Orlando area, it was recently FEMA declared Orlando a disaster area. So I was very, very fortunate. But I went and stayed with some friends and everything was completely fine. We didn't even lose power. And then I came back to my apartment, which is where I'm broadcasting from now. And aside from a little bit of water sort of in the corner near where the door is, Nothing bad happened here either. So I was very, very fortunate. And because nothing bad happened and it was my first hurricane, I can say that it was kind of fun. I enjoyed just kind of like, it was like camping in the living room. And there was lots of Oreos and like a couple beers. And it was a good sort of weekend. But as far as the rest of the state goes, it was pretty serious. So, heart goes out to all of those other people. There's still people in Orlando that don't have power. So I'm just very, very fortunate.
Yes. All right. Well, heart goes out to anyone that was affected by the storm. So glad to hear you're okay, John. So yes, that is our update. Again, make sure you check out the, hopefully the Taran show will be released tonight. That is what I've been told tonight. We're going to hopefully be able to release this, and you can all listen, and it'll be great. And then tomorrow we will be back at noon Eastern to update you on the live feeds. Tonight we will also be recapping the recap. So that's going to be a lot of, it always is a lot of fun.
I don't watch those episodes. I'm just going to be honest. I don't watch them.
You don't watch the episodes, but you should listen to the podcast.
I do listen to the recaps of the recaps like that. That goes without saying.
Yes. And then, of course, we will be back for our final roundtable of the season, probably on Monday, as always. And then, American Ninja Warrior. Check that out. The season finale will be on Monday night. So Lita and I will be podcasting.
Who's going to win, the Americans or the Ninjas? I don't watch that show either.
It's a great show. You should check it out. I was on it.
Yeah, I saw your clips. I did used to watch the Japanese version. I'm sure the American version is also good. It's just like, at what point is there too much TV? It's hard. You gotta make cuts somewhere.
Yeah, cut everywhere other than Big Brother and American Ninja Warrior. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay, sure.
And of course, check out the First One Out series that we've been releasing for the preseason of Survivor 35. Very fun stuff there. We just released the Healers Tribe episode and currently working on the Hustlers. So lots of fun stuff with that. So thank you everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.
Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.